So today we are talking about fighting and when to hit back and all that sort of thing. And yeah, I am kind of stiff and sore today. But you know, one of the perks of being a pastor is people share their narcotics with you so freely. But I haven't taken anything because, as Gary says, if I do, I'll need a bib by the time this is over, and I certainly don't want that. So what happened was really quite simple. I pray every morning that God will put the people in my life that he wants me to influence. And of course, he's going to do that whether I ask him to or not. But, you know, I get the privilege of influencing lots of people. It comes along with my job. And so that's my prayer. And then on Monday, I was taking Diane's car in for an oil change. Even Toyotas get dirty oil sometimes. And so I was taking it in. And it's really handy for us because she works kitty corner from Midas on Henry and Norton there. She works in that office building, that medical building, you know, what used to be a Kmart or whatever. And I went and got her car, dropped it off, went back and got mine, and went back home. But then I got the call that it was done, needed a little bit of brake work and whatnot. And I parked back over there by Midas. And there's this guy walking around there. It's just from the looks of it, he was homeless. You know, and as he got within smelling range of me, I realized this fella had not bathed in a long time. It was pretty potent. And I was probably 15 feet from him. They have one of those outdoor ashtrays at Midas. And this guy's going through the ashtray and throwing the butts on the sidewalk. There wasn't any snow yet. I thought, why in the world were you throwing butts on the sidewalk? And I thought, how can I help this guy? You know, Wendy's right across the street. Do I just take him across the street, buy him a burger? And I was approaching him as he was doing the thing with the cigarette butts, and I didn't see the step. And you know that concrete just comes up, boom, like that to get you. And I hit everything except my head. But I was flat on my face, you know, my knees, which are already sore, took the brunt of it. They're really stiff now, and my shoulders are sore. I don't know how that happened, but the homeless guy was gone by the time I got myself up. And then, so I go in the waiting room, and you know, there's the worst part of falling like that, besides that it hurts, is when other people see it. You don't want that to happen. And there were two people in the waiting room and the gal that runs the place. And anyway, one of the boys says, oh man, this lucky, your lucky day, you could sue them now. And you know they have to have liability insurance. So I'd go right to urgent care and get diagnosed. First of all, no, I'm not going to urgent care because I'm still conscious. And I said, do you know how hard it is to find a mechanic that won't rip you off? Especially if the mechanic finds out you're a pastor and they think you're not going to retaliate. It's just really hard to find a mechanic that you trust. And I've been going to this place for 20 years. And I said, plus, it's my fault that I fell. I wasn't watching what I was doing. Now, how do you put good into that situation? I don't know. It was a test. I'm not exactly sure how to put good into that. But at least I made it through that with minimal use of expletives. And we got through it. Now, the question is, when do you retaliate for something? Now, that is what I want us to think about today. All followers of Jesus want to put good into the world, especially this time of year. And this church certainly does that. You look at the adopt a family thing. It just always goes really well. Santa's Secret Shop, the food truck this week was huge. And the hand-to-hand thing, it's a massive task, and I'm very pleased with what Laketon Bethel's doing. It does follow the teachings of Scripture. But I want us to look at a passage from Romans today that does kind of talk about when to hit back. Now, it's, you know, Paul, when he writes his letters, and he wrote, you know, 2/3 of the New Testament, he always starts off with theology, and then he goes into the practical application of it. So we're at chapter 12 in Romans, so this is the practical application of it. But we're, you know, I want you to consider, when is it right to hit back? And is it ever right to hit back? And that's what Paul talks about in this part of this passage. He says this, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. See, to the Jewish way of thinking, to Paul's way of thinking, love is always a verb. It's never a noun. It's not a feeling. It's an action. You love with what you do, not what you feel. And real love manifests itself with action. When love is just talk and emotion, it's suspect. Real love cleans toilets and does laundry. That's the difference. So he goes on with this. He says, run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. And the way the sentence structure is on this, it could be translated as run for dear life from evil people. And in the context, you know, of what Paul was writing, it's like, avoid bullies. Run away from bullies and toward those who get things done, get good things done. Run away from what is false and run towards what is true. Run from evil and pursue what is good. And there's got, it's got hundreds of applications. You look at this verse, there's 100 ways you can apply that to your life today. It can affect how you drive your car. It can affect how you spend your free time, how you spend your discretionary money, how you vote. It can affect everything. Run from evil and hold on to good. And he goes on, be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Again, here you have to think of it. Love is a verb, not a noun. And he's saying here, practice playing second fiddle. You know, living in South Dakota, got into this habit of that I learned from the Native Americans. It's kind of a neat thing that they do, and they write about it all the time, is they assign a spirit animal to people. And I thought, yeah, you know, with this verse, there's peacocks who like to get attention, and then there's service dogs. You know, there's show-offs who want the center of attention, and service dogs who just want to hang out and quietly serve. And we had a service dog sitting in here last Sunday, made me think of this, but is she here? She's not here today? Everybody scold her. Tell Kelly we talked about her. But yeah, she had a service dog in here. It was a Doberman. And the dog just is calm, just wants to be there. And I was thinking, you know, being a service dog is not a bad model for being a Christian, because they're quiet, they're good listeners, and they just like to hang out. You know, they don't cause trouble, whereas the peacock wants to be the center of attention all the time. Okay, so this goes on. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Obviously verbal. It says no cursing, which means no put downs, even of your worst enemies and even of politicians. Bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. Boy, you know, I catch myself with that. I caught myself with that already this morning by 8 o'clock. As we were joking about politicians, and I said, well, you know, if a politician tells the truth, it's by accident. And I found myself saying that. That's kind of goes against the grain of this verse. You know, it's tough to do. Paul's saying, make what comes out of your mouth a blessing. When you walk into a room, you want people to know that because you're there, they're going to be encouraged. I'm not there, but I'm working on it. And he goes on. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. In other words, be empathetic. Try to understand, you know, when people are going through good times and bad times. And it's really harder to be empathetic for the good times. Because if somebody's having a major success in their life, we tend to be jealous of them, and you know, it doesn't go as well. Okay, here's a good one. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. As I was thinking about this, maybe I need to just hang out with somebody who rubs me the wrong way and see if I can make that work. But you know, in the Christian faith, there's to be no pariahs. There's not to be any rejects. We're to be friends with everyone. And make an effort to befriend those who don't have a lot of friends, especially in the church situation, in church setting. You see somebody you don't know, get to know. It's very simple. And then here comes the don't hit back part. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. So when do you hit back? According to this, rarely or never. Getting along is a higher priority than getting it right. And as Henry Cloud says, you can't be happy and right at the same time. It doesn't work that way. He says, discover the beauty in everybody. And then let God worry about making things right. Well, that's kind of a chewy little passage there, isn't it? He explains it with another one. He says, our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. In other words, be nice to those you don't like. I was telling one guy about this, and he says, oh, I suppose I'm going to have to buy you lunch once a week now. I thought, okay, well, anyway. And then here's how Paul wraps this section. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Thinking about the number 1440 this week a lot, because there's 1,440 minutes in a day. And every one of those minutes is a gift. We get to decide how to spend them. And if we spend them doing good, we won't have time to do evil. And I think that's the essence of what Paul is saying here. And this is just some other versions of it. The PEV is an Australian English version that every once in a while it's got some clever ways of saying things. But sometimes, folks, hitting back is situational. You know, if I catch you hitting one of my granddaughters, for instance, you better run. I'm not as good a shot as I used to be, but you better run. And as I've explained before, at my age, life in prison is not such a big deal. So, you know, we got to keep that in mind. I think it is situational. And then what if what's-his-name over in Russia decided he was going to invade Michigan like he did Ukraine? You know, would you want to hit back in that case? Yeah, I probably would. These might be situations where you can respond. But what Paul is talking to, he says, don't respond if somebody insults you and hurts your feelings. Come on, grow up. Just eat it. It's not worth it. Put good in that situation instead. Even though it's a difficult thing to do, it's the right thing to do. I'm not talking about harmless pranks. I mean, where would we be if we couldn't prank each other every once in a while? I think that's probably a good thing. You know, I was taking a test one time in seminary, and it was a long test, 2 hours. You had a couple of these little blue books to fill out, you know, one of those essay tests. And I'd stayed up all night studying for that thing. Cool part of it was is when I got into the classroom, the professor asked exactly the two questions I wanted him to ask, and I smoked that thing. It took me about an hour and a half of the 2 hours. I knew I had nailed it. Well, I had about 15 minutes till the next class, which was Faith Development and Religious Enculturation, which is a sleeper. You know, in order to get an A in that class, all you had to do was stay awake. So I went to the class. All right, first I went to the Commons and got myself a big mug of black coffee. So I had 15 minutes, and I knew that if I survived that, if I could just get that coffee down, I could stay awake. So my friend Andy comes in there. I'm sitting there with the coffee. He was in the same class, but he didn't get the test done. He sees me with this big cup of coffee. And I said, yeah, I was really looking forward to this. You know what he did? He took his finger and he said, here, let me stir this for you. I could have shot him on the spot. But I got even with him. I drank the coffee anyway. Well, we have antibodies, right? But anyway, it's hard to find creative ways to get him back. It's easier to find creative ways to put good in the world. You know, with Andy, it used to be at the seminary after chapel, we'd get coffee and donuts. And a local bakery would bring in the donuts every day. Well, now they have bran muffins and fresh fruit. It's not even worth going to chapel there anymore. But what I did is I'd watch what kind of donut Andy would choose, and some days I would just bring him one. And he'd always look at me really suspiciously when I brought him the donut. But he did quit stirring my coffee. I don't know if it was because I threatened to break his hand or what the deal was, but he did quit stirring my coffee. Now, the thing is, folks, realistically, we're not going to eradicate evil. We are not going to make it stop. But if your focus is on putting good into people, your corner of the world will improve dramatically. You got to start small in your own house. You know, you can't do much about what's going on in the house next door. You can't do too much about that, but you can do a lot about what happens in your house. You can't control how someone else drives, but you can control your own car. You can't control the words that come out of somebody else's mouth, but you can control the ones that come out of your mouth. So you start small and then watch the ripples go. You put good in and you watch how things are going to change. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we're hoping to be the influencers for good, which you called us to do. But show us more and more how to do that. Show us how every person that crosses our path is sent by you. And show us how we're here to help each other grow. Amen.